Welcome to chapter 84. Is it 84? For once, just check. Hey, Luke, before I go on the podcast, just look up Luke Kidgel podcast. Or, you know what, even more simple, just remember. It was a week ago that I did the last one, and I don't remember what it was. Was it 83? I know I'm up to 80-something. Luke Kidgel podcast. This is what you guys should be Googling every Tuesday, by the way. All right, hang on. I know you guys already know because I've already gone and put it in the thing. This is just for me. 84. All right. Sorry. Once again, the first 45 seconds of the podcast is me trying to figure out what episode. Why do people listen to this shit? Most of it's just would be frustrating. Like, is that frustrating to listen to for you guys? Me scrambling going, oh, what episode is it? But on yours, phone screens or computer or whatever you're watching it on or listening to it on, you're like, yeah, I can see it's 84, dickhead. Just get to it. That must be incredibly frustrating. And I don't know why there's such a high listenership on this podcast. And like the same people continue to listen and are still like, yeah, I'll give him like 45 minutes to an hour of my time each week while he scrambles to find what episode it is. But, you know what, it makes me appreciate it even more that people listen to this shit. So, what is up, guys? How's your week been? I've been a busy boy, alright? You may know, because you may have seen me during the week. I've been on tour. I did Adelaide and Perth this weekend. I left Friday, I came back Monday night. So, for most of the week, I've been away. And yeah, it was awesome. It was the first two interstate shows, so I finished my hometown shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and then it was time to start taking the new show because I can around the country, and yeah, it was awesome. It was without a doubt probably the most fun interstate shows I've had yet. I mean, just because there's more people coming to the shows, it's a better show. I've still got all the bigger ones to go. I did Adelaide and Perth. So last year, I think in Adelaide, man, I sold fuck all. I think I only sold like 50 tickets or so last year. And this year, I almost sold it out. So thank you guys so much for coming. Adelaide's good. I mean, I give it a lot of shit, but like, I guess I just like the people there. I'm good buddies with the Fairbairn boys, and Darcy, who hangs out with them, so it was good to catch up with those boys again. Lachlan Fairbairn opened the show. It was his second time ever on stage, and dude, I wouldn't have done that if I was him. Like, second time doing anything. Like, do you remember the second time you rode a bike? You fell off that bike. You know what I mean? You were shit at riding that bike. You were like, what are these, pedals? Hand? Oh, fuck. Oh, I'm off. I'm in the dirt, and I've lost 3 teeth, and my face is bleeding. Great. Like, the second time you do anything is not good, okay? But for some reason, sometimes there is an exception, and for some reason, Lachlan Fairbairn went up there and did very well. So he went out on stage in front of, like, almost 100 people, and he did great, and I was so happy for him. So yeah, Lachlan, if you haven't seen Fairbairn films, he's been on the episode of the podcast before. Go get around him. They're very funny boys, him and Jackson. So that was awesome. It's always good, you know, not giving opportunities, but watching your mate succeed. And, you know, because I had people obviously give me opportunities at the start. Lewis gave me a lot of opportunities to open up. So it's good to kind of return the favor in that aspect of, you know, because he's just starting out in stand-up. I mean, they're way bigger than me video-wise, like, and subscriber-wise and stuff. But stand-up-wise, it was good, you know, to finally repay him, because, you know, I've done a fair few videos with them, which has been good for me, because they've got quite a large audience. So it's always good to return the favor to your mates, which is good. So yeah, Lachlan Fairbairn killed it. And the Adelaide show was awesome. Man, there was this old 60-year-old, I'm going to say 70. No, now it's rude. I mean, she probably won't listen to this, but like, I'm going to say 60 to 70. You know what? If she was 70, she looked great for her age, but she was definitely over 65, okay? And, fuck, I couldn't work out for the first, like, 30 minutes of the show why she was there. So I did a spot at the Rhino Room. Ow, that's got something in my eye. Oh man, people watching this video, if you're watching the podcast right now on YouTube, you sort of see me have a panic attack. I reacted like there was a wasp in my face. It wasn't. My eye just hurt. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so that was the old lady, right? And I couldn't work out. Whenever I see like a person with an older demographic, I'm immediately like, oh yeah, they must have come with like their kid or their nephew or niece or something like that. They must have. No way a 65-year-old person has seen my music reviews and been like, fuck, I love the way he ruins Jacob Sartorius. Jeez, look at these bloody Nicki Minaj gags. You know what I mean? I always go, there's no way that's my target demographic, okay? So I always get really confused, but I was looking next to her and there was like this kind of, you know, 45-year-old, 50-year-old woman next to her. And I was like, oh, maybe she was 40. Look, I'm rude with people's ages. And I was like, I can't work out. If they come together, I was like, where's their kid? But they were sitting right at the front, like first row, just the side of me. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? So I couldn't, like, here's the thing. When you're a performer, you're kind of doing the show. And I've done the show a bunch of times, right? So I'm obviously thinking about the show. But in the back of my mind the whole time, between every joke, I'm kind of just looking at them going, why the fuck are you still here? Like, there's no bingo after this. There's no, what are you waiting for? You know what I mean? Like, the bill starts at 7:30. You've already missed it. You know what I mean? You've missed whatever the fuck you've got to watch on the ABC tonight. I mean, I don't think you know how to use iView. All right, so I don't know. I can't work out why you've left the house. I mean, you should be in a home, let alone at my show. So I eventually asked, I was like, hey, thanks so much for coming. I just have to ask, like, why? It's kind of rude, but I was like, what brings you here? Because it's surely not my dick jokes and online humor. And by the way, she was losing it the whole show. This old lady was just fucking laughing at the grossest shit. Old people are disgusting, okay? You might, yeah, they're walking down the street, pushing their little trolleys, getting their groceries, and they look all cute. Nah, they're looking at that banana going like, I'm going to get two, one for eating and one for, you know what I mean? Like, old people are, like, when they buy, you see an old lady buying three cucumbers, she doesn't eat three cucumbers, all right? No person eats three cucumbers in a week. Two are going up that puss. I don't want to mean to be graphic, but two are going up that, you know what I mean? She's eaten all three, but she's not eating all three with her mouths, all right? She's, sorry. I was like, I don't want to get too graphic, and then I just got extremely graphic, where you guys are now picturing in old woman's vagina just having a munch. Like chomping at a cucumber. Anyway, so she came to my show and it was very, sorry, I need to put my phone on airplane mode here. I'm just getting bloody texts and that's distracting. So I was like, what brings you here? And she goes, oh, we saw you at the show on Friday night. So on the Friday night before I got to Adelaide just to hang out with the Fairbairn boys. I like to go to the room the night before. And lucky we did, because the venue fucked me in the asshole. But that's a whole other thing. I did a show at the Rhino Room on their Friday night comedy night. They have like a weekly comedy night. And it was awesome. It was, I smashed it. Like, it was one of the best gigs I've ever had. And I just mentioned that at the end, because it wasn't so hard. I was like, hey, I'm doing a show here tomorrow night, if anyone wants to come back and check it out. And I was like, there's no way anyone will come, because they're all kind of older people, like, and I was like, they're not my target demographic, they've already been out, you know, it was kind of the thing where, like, everyone here has got a babysitter at home, it's their one night out for the month, there's no way these people are coming back to my show. But I chucked it out there, then forgot about it. And then I was on stage, and I was like, fuck, I can't work out where this old lady's come from. And then she was like, oh, we saw you last night, and we thought it was so great, we had to come. And I was like, oh my god, that's the fourth time you've come this week. Three cucumbers, now this. Thank you very much. No, I was like, I was so psyched. And then it got me thinking, I was like, fuck, I don't really write jokes for any specific demographic, I guess. I think some comedians, like, cater for, you know, like, some comedians, say if they perform in front of, you know, 20-year-old people, they'll cater for 20-year-old people. I just kind of write jokes or whatever I think's funny. Like, my parents find the show funny. Their parents find... You know, that's what always gets me about the shows is all the dads and some of the mums don't like it because I have some gross bits. But all the dads who come fucking love it. And it makes my day. Like, sometimes I'll see, like, a dad getting amusement out of it. Like, of some, like, cum joke I've made. And I'm like, ah, you just laughed in front of your son at a cum joke. You're a shit dad. I mean, you're a good bloke, but you're a shit dad. Because laughing is involuntary. You know what I mean? It's a natural reaction where you can stop yourself after the... But you always, if you find something really funny, your body naturally at least goes, you know what I mean? Where you express some kind of emotion. And I'm like, if you're sitting next to your 15-year-old kid and you laugh at a joke about me jacking off or my, you know what I mean? I'm not going to give too much away at the show, but people who've seen the show will kind of get the bits that I'm talking about here. If you laugh at any type of dick joke, it says something about your true personality. And your son's going to be like, oh, my dad's a loose unit. My dad also wanks. Great to know. so that always makes me, feel very proud after the show that I'm like, fuck, I made like a 14-year-old laugh his ass off and like a 65 to 75-year-old woman. All right, she's getting older by the minute. I made a 100-year-old woman laugh her ass off. I made a 400-year-old, I made a witch laugher. I made a 1,000-year-old woman. I made, all right, you guys get the idea. I made a corpse of an old woman sitting in the front row laugh her ass off, and that was very cool. So, thank you very much for coming. I don't think she has the internet, so I don't think there's any chance of her hearing this. But hey, if she is, you weren't that old. You look very good for your age. And yeah, she was rap. And you know what else? She bought a t-shirt after. Like, she waited around for like half an hour to meet me. She'd never heard of me 24 hours before the gig. And this older woman, and she brought her daughter along who was kind of like 45. So it was like the kind of the grandma, the daughter. And then the daughter who was like 45 years old was like, I should have bought my 16-year-old kid. And I could have had like three generations of a family there. Would have been awesome. But she's like, I didn't really know the demographic of your show. And then she rocked up and it's all just like, either kids are in high school or like uni students or like people under 25 is generally my demographic. And so she was like, oh, I should have bought my 16-year-old son. He would have fucking loved this. But yeah, the grandma and the mum waited around for half an hour, then bought a t-shirt. They'd never heard of me before the Friday night. So that was pretty cool. So look at me, just hustling, gaining fans in Adelaide. And man, I had a huge week gig-wise this week. That's why I've been kind of off social media, kind of. Actually, who am I kidding? I uploaded 2 videos last week, alright? People are like, oh, you never fucking upload, bro. I uploaded 2 videos in a week because I missed for 2 weeks, so I made up for it, alright? And uploaded 2 videos in 1 week. I uploaded a crowd work video from a Melbourne show that took me fucking hours to edit, and then I uploaded one with Lachlan Fairbairn called Things That Are Impossible, and that was a banger. So, yeah, anyway. Shits me, well, you'd never upload. It's like, oh, it's free, alright? Do you pay for it? No? Shh. Simmer down then, sir or madam, whoever's complaining. Alright? Fair enough if you're subscribing to 1 video a week. And also, I never say that. I'd never say 1 video a week. It's a goal of mine to do that, and sometimes I do it. But I'm a busy guy. I got a lot of fish to fry, okay? I got a radio show 4 times a week. I got a stand-up tour. I'm doing 6 gigs this week out of 7 days. There's only 7 days in a week, and I've gigged Wednesday night at the Comics Lounge opening for Duroc Jai Singer. Thursday, opening for Duroc Jai Singer at the Comics Lounge, alright? It was an awesome. And then Friday, went to Adelaide. Oh, I could have had a night off before my show and just hung out with the boys. Nuh-uh. Your boy went to do a gig, and he hustled that 65-year-old woman in. She fucking loved it, got a t-shirt. Then I did my Saturday night show at the Rhino Room, almost sold out, like seriously one of the loosest shows, like Adelaide, you guys are loose, it was weird sometimes, but I appreciate it. There was one guy talking about ISIS beheading videos, he just started yelling. I didn't ask the crowd, by the way, I want to make that clear, I don't have a bit in my show that's like, hey, do you guys watch ISIS beheading videos? No, I don't talk about that stuff. My stuff's generally a bit silly, a little bit rude, you know. Makes your grandma laugh, you know. Like, I don't go, oh, my buddy, yeah, I was jacking off to this friggin' bit. No. And this guy just starts piping up and then just starts saying how he jacks off to ISIS beheading videos. All right. That was the most Adelaide shit I've ever heard. And then Sunday night had a sold out show in Perth, which was awesome. And then had one day off, one day only because my flight landed back in Melbourne at midnight. So I was flying because the time difference fucks you. I left at 6 p.m. Perth time, and then I arrived back in Melbourne at 11:40 Melbourne time. Because there's 2 hours time difference that you lose. So anyway, and then tonight I'm about to go in the next like 45 minutes or half an hour or so to the Comics Lounge again and do another gig. All right. So you're like, oh, where's your video? It's not like I'm not working. Okay. If you want the good shit, come to the show, because that's what I spend all year trying to make good. That hour is better than four, you know what I mean? Like, 4, 5, 6 videos. Oh, yeah, it's better than a whole year of videos combined. That's what it's supposed to be, right? So I spent a lot of time working that. Did 6 gigs this week. So what was I up to? Adelaide, I kind of talked about. It was awesome to catch up with the boys. Then flew to... So I spent 2 days in Adelaide. Then I flew to Perth on the Sunday. And, man, I was so tired. I got to Perth. We had to wake up at 6 a.m. to fly to Perth. Flew to Perth, you lose it like an hour and a half because we're in Adelaide, which is an hour and a half behind Perth. Lose an hour and a half there, and then then I had a nap because then for like 45 minutes to an hour because I was wrecked, and then I had to go to Hit 92.9, which is the equivalent of Fox FM in Perth. It's on the Hit Network. Had to go to the radio station to do the Luke and Lewis radio show via webcam with Lewis, which was pretty full on. We'd never done that before, and it was weird. You know what I mean? It was like kind of what I'm doing now. Like, I can see myself talking in the camera here, but like it was like Lewis was. It was just to like talking to someone. Imagine doing a radio show with someone over Skype and trying not to talk over each other. I mean, so what most radio shows do, and you'd be surprised, I don't want to give away too much, but you'd be surprised at the amount of radio shows that do this every single show. For example, some co-hosts may live in different states, right? But you would never know because they just do it every morning and they don't ever reference it. And I think, because I kind of see them doing the shows here and I'm like, oh yeah, when I listen back to it on air, I can hear that they're not in the studio with each other, but it's very hard to tell if you have no idea. And obviously most shows do that. So we thought that, you know, the station was like, oh, don't acknowledge it. People don't know that you're in different states. Just do the show. And I was like, we make our lives very public. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like the one thing that Lewis and I have and the relationship that we have with our audiences is it's a very public, open relationship. I tell you guys everything. All right. I tell you guys that I have a hot doctor, and that's a huge revelation because I'm not gay. Like, I tell you guys everything that happens to me. I feel like that's one of the things that maybe is, I don't know. I mean, I like to think it's my comedy, but I think that's maybe one of the things that's appealing. Is in this day and age that, like, I guess where you share everything with everyone, you kind of feel like. I mean, I listen to podcasts like Bill Burr's and stuff, and I feel like I know Bill Burr, and sometimes people come up to me and feel like they know me, because this is like, you know, because I'm a very open book, and that's very cool. The radio station was like, yeah, maybe just like keep it under wraps, do the shows as, you know, try your best to do it as normal. No one will even know that Luke's in Perth, Lewis is in Melbourne. And I'm like, I'm doing a sold out show in Perth. They'll all know. You know what I mean? I'm on Snapchat saying I'm in Perth today. I'm on Instagram going, I'm fucking in Perth. Well, I'm not, you know what I mean? I've got a show an hour and a half later. You can't fly to Perth and no one's going to believe that I was in Melbourne. So why don't we just be open about it and make a joke out of it? So then the whole radio show was me just going, I'm in Perth, how shit's this, haha. And then the whole thing was about the time difference and whatever, like, and it was day when I was doing the show, but it was night in Melbourne. And I think that's the best way to do content is, why lie about something so weird like that? Like, what a weird lie to tell. Like, oh, let's pretend that Luke's in Melbourne. But I'm fucking not. Okay? So we were like, let's just do the show. it's very Luke and Lewis to be like, hey, this is a thing, it's happening, we're going to make it work, and we just did our best. And I don't know if it was even noticeable that I was in another state, but we acknowledged it a lot, and it was good fun. So then I went straight to the Perth show, sold-out show. In hindsight, I should have done 2 shows in Perth. I'm really sorry to everyone who missed out. I hope to see you next year. It was kind of a thing where it was like Brisbane. If the show had sold out maybe a week or so or a couple of weeks earlier, I would have been able to add another show. But the reality of the situation is I sold out the show about 2 weeks before, and then that was it. Like, I'd already booked my flight home. I contacted the venue. I couldn't get the venue for a late show because the pub closes at a certain time that it's above. And I'd already booked a flight home on the Monday night, and that's fucking expensive. So, and also then the show would have had to be on a Monday night, and it didn't end up happening. So next year, you kind of don't realize, but you have to account for Perth people being fucking retarded. Because in Melbourne and Sydney and the East Coast and stuff, people are very used to booking early for shit because things sells out. Things just sell out because there's a lot of demand for entertainment. You just book early if you want to see a thing, because if you don't, you kind of expect to not be able to get tickets on the door. And in Perth, it's like, Luke's coming. I'll get around to it. I sell out, man. All right? That's what I do. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to come, you got to get on that shit. Next year, I might have to just book two shows in Perth from the start. Have both of them half sold, be freaking out, and then on the day everyone's like, oh, come to Luke's show because I'm a dickhead. Do you know how many messages I got? 50 messages of, bro, how come I can't get tickets to your show? Like the day before. It sold out 2 weeks ago. What? How come? Put another show on. I want to come. I'll bring 8 friends. Too late. Okay? Look, but I fucked up. Yeah, you did. You done fucked up. What do you want me to do? Like, I'm just one man, all right, trying to do my little thing, all right, and it's hard for me to gauge how many people want to come to the shows if you don't buy tickets. So, you know what I mean? What am I supposed to do here? Anyway, Perth next year, I'll be doing either, like, definitely a bigger room, maybe 2 shows, because people are stupid. And I hate it when people, I joke and stuff, I do hate it when people miss out, and that sucks. And yeah, I went to Fremantle on the Monday. I've never been to Fremantle before. Each year on the tour, I try and go to like a place that I've never been to before. For example, I go to like, the last year, me and Emily, I mean, when I say I've been to most places before, like the only place I've never been to in Australia before is Tasmania. And Broome, like the northern, like, WA I've never been to. I've been to Northern Queensland, I've been to Cairns and stuff. So yeah, pretty much Broome and Tasmania are the only 2 places I've never been to. But I've kind of never seen a lot of it because it's either been doing shows, on tour or whatever, and you only spend like a night in each town. So each year I try and book another couple of days or a night or so I can go see the place. Like, so Emily comes on tour with me. Last year we did Sydney. Because, you know, I'd done Sydney before, but Emily had never done it, so we went to the zoo, just did the touristy shit to do, in Sydney, and now we've done that stuff, I don't want to fucking spend another night there, than I have to, but, even though, you know what, Sydney still is my favourite place to go to in Australia. I don't know why, it's so good. Like, I would hate to live there, because your roads are fucked, and yeah, it's too expensive, but the Carver, every time I could say, oh, bloody, it's a big bridge. Every time I go, I'm still like, hey, they nailed that one. Paul Hogan worked on that bridge. I just say shit that dads say when they go to Sydney, like, hey, buddy, kids, we'll get a gelati after this, but first of all, spend 20 minutes just admiring this architecture. It's fucking unbelievable, isn't it? That's, I'm going to be that dad for sure. Like, kids screaming at me, ah, dad, we want to do fun shit. I'm like, yeah, but look at these bloody steel beams, all right? They connect their bloody... And it's not like I'm a dad who knows anything about it. I'm just one of those dads who, like, appreciates simple things. Like, bloody, can fit almost 300 cars on this bridge. That's some bloody top-shelf engineering. All right, kids. And they're just, you know, they've fallen asleep or they've jumped in the harbour by now. Those, you know what I mean? I'm going to be the most boring dad, but that's just what I like. Every time I go there, I'm like, fuck, it's good opera house. Well done, guys. That's just what I'm like, all right? I appreciate simple shit. Sue me, all right? I mean, you guys aren't surprised. I'm the most simple guy on planet Earth. Look at my head. Simple head. I appreciate it. I appreciate what God's given me. He didn't give me a big nose. He didn't really give me any features that stand out. He just gave me this, and I'm working with it. It's fine. You know what I mean? It's not great. It's not bad. Just what it is, and I'm okay with that. It's simple. It's what I like. I have the cotton on of heads, okay? I got the Kmart of heads. I'm just, you know, it's cheap. It's made in Thailand, and yeah, I don't know. Actually, I don't think that's where I was conceived. I don't want to know. Anyway, what was I talking about? I don't want to think about that. Fremantle. So, I went to a place where, yeah, we always try and go to a place that we've never gone to. I'd never really been to Fremantle, because last year I went to Perth, and I was like, on step two, I was like, hey, I'm in Perth for a couple of days before, what should we do? And we didn't end up doing anything. We went and saw, like, King's Park, like, just the, you know, we went and saw shit around the city, and everyone was like, firstly, everyone was like, just fucking leave, man, there's nothing to do here. The second thing was go to Bali, and then the third thing was go to Fremantle, and I was like, great, none of those things are in Perth. So this year I was like, I'm definitely going to go to Fremantle. And it was awesome. We went to the Fremantle prison, which was super weird. It was like this old rundown prison that was a lot like the old Melbourne jail, which was decommissioned a long time ago. But this Fremantle prison was only decommissioned in 1991. I was only negative 5 years old. I was born in 1996, okay? And there was like, we're talking shit in a bucket type prison. Like, your cell is as big as your thing. There's like a shitty bed. You shit in a bucket. And it's full maximum security. There's a courtyard with a basketball ring. And then like a rape corner. And then that's it. And you're in there with a bunch of other inmates. That was the prison. And it was, people were doing that in there in 1991. Like, they'd heard... What was happening in 1991 pop culture. What was happening then? Like, they probably were listening to Nirvana while shitting in a bucket. How? That's insane. What was the biggest song? Sorry, I'm trying to find biggest songs 1991. All right. Okay, I've never heard of any of these songs. So, turns out, 1991 was a long time ago, and this hasn't proven my point whatsoever. The number one song was Bryan Adams, but it wasn't Summer of 69. That's the only Bryan Adams song I know. But, dude, Mariah Carey was making the charts. Mariah Carey was in the charts when people were shitting in a bucket. What? They couldn't invent sewage, but Mariah Carey could sing. Sorry, how old's Mariah Carey? Maybe she's old as fuck. She's still pretty hot. Good on her. Anyway, 1991 was a bloody... Bill Gates... Okay, you know, I should have done my research about 1991 before the podcast. Clearly, I know nothing about it. I'm looking at here, and I'm not even understanding anything. I'm going to look up fads of 1991. Like, what were people doing in 1991, other than shitting in a bucket in Fremantle Prison? 1991 fads. Like, what was like a... thing. Anyway, what else? Oh, the guy who was running the prison was full-on, not autistic, but, like, had seen some shit. You know, like, okay, wait, I've got the kids of, okay, I've got it, guys, we'll go back to that later. These were the type of cool lingo that apparently, according to this website, the kids of 91, this is cool lingo that was being used at the same time that people, okay, to give you kind of, guys, an idea of what else was happening in this prison, they were shitting in a bucket, like, full-on wearing, like, striped, like, prison clothing. Like, some of them still had metal balls and chains on. as they were being walked around the prison. Like, we're talking convict shit, but in 1991. So the shit that was happening in this prison was borderline torture, but at the same time, there was kids saying the word gnarly and cowabunga. So people were saying cowabunga and get a grip. I'm just reading popular lingo from 1991. People were saying radical cowabunga and gnarly while there was a guy in a ball and chain with striped convict clothes on shitting in a bucket. The only reason why that kind of torturous treatment was, probably not the right word, but considered acceptable on the First Fleet when they all got shipped over here. Like, the only reason why that was considered acceptable is because Captain James Cook wasn't going, cowabunga, shit in this bucket. He was going, by gosh, sir, by gosh, peasant, shit in this bucket. And you know what I mean? People, I don't think I'm making my point. But the point is, favorite music stars from 1991, Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice was a thing when people were shitting in a bucket. You guys get the idea, okay? This was an outdated prison in a modern time. That's the point I'm trying to make. And the guy who was taking the tour, we paid to go on this tour of the prison, and he turns out halfway through the prison. So the first half an hour of the prison, he's kind of talking, and I was finding him really hard to understand. He didn't have an accent. He was just super weird dude. He was kind of nerdy, but he was like, and then in the prison, I think it was good, and all the inmates would, and you catch, like, kind of glimpses and words here and there, but I was like, just open your mouth wider when you speak, okay? Pretend that you're surprised, and then speak while you're pretending you're surprised. Open that mouth up, stop mumbling, make eye contact, and start being less prison McPrisony. I thought he was one of the inmates. I was like, this guy hasn't had social contact for 32 years, okay? This guy's spent... And then it turns out halfway through the tour, he just kind of subtly reveals that when the prison was still open in 1991, working as a prison, he was there. Not as a prisoner, like working with the inmates. Like, he was one of the guys collecting the shit from the bucket. And I was like, oh, this explains so much. This is... Usually when you get a tour guide for something, they're confident, outspoken. They're hired because they know a lot about the thing and they're confident, they're enthusiastic, and they're great people. Like, now, you see them in the city. You walk past a bloody tour of Melbourne, and there's, like, a bunch of, like, Germans taking photos of the big buildings and stuff, and then some bloke, like, some backpacker here is just trying to make 20 bucks, and I was like, yeah. And then, guys, this is the Eureka Sky Deck, built-in bloody whatever, and he's confident, he's outspoken. This guy was looking at the floor, mumbling about prison history, like, and then there was a riot in this thing, and four people escaped, and this... Fucking hell, like, there was Asians, like, next to me, like, Chinese people with one of those translator, like, audio guide things where they put it up to their ear and they'd hear it in Mandarin, like, what the guy was saying. And I was like, fucking give me one of those in English. Like, I can't understand this guy. I'd rather hear Siri fucking read out this prison history. Like, by the end of it, I was like, but he's like, anyway, let's continue on to the next room. I was like, nah, fuck it, I'm done. We went and visited a noose. Like, I was getting so fed up. We visited the room where they used to execute people, and there was a big rope, there was a noose hanging. You might have seen on my Instagram story, it looked like a big swing. And it was we were in the room with the noose, and he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. He's like mumbling about it. I was like, mate, put me fucking in there. I'm fucking done. I'm sick of your shit. Or, but you know what? Even better, volunteer yourself as tribute, okay? It was so annoying. I was like, this guy's being paid to mumble. But yet, that's not his job description. His job description is like, give people a very informative, enjoyable, yet factual experience of prison life, you know, in this decommissioned prison. And it was really interesting going in there. But, like, you're talking to a guy who's watched every single prison documentary on Netflix, okay? I was super psyched about it. And then I get old mumbly McFucking prison face, like, speaking under his lip. And I'm like, hey, speak up. Okay? Or give me a fucking audiobook. Dude, it would have been more efficient for me to just learn Mandarin and steal one of the audiobooks of one of the other people, okay, than to... I was getting a migraine just from trying to listen to him speak. Anyway, that was good fun. And then I went to a brewery in Fremantle, the Little Creatures Brewery, and then had a couple of drinks and celebrated an awesome weekend of shows with Emily. Her parents were there. They happened to be in Perth at the same time that we were, like, on holiday. So we caught up with them, had a couple of beers, and yeah, it was an awesome end to the weekend, and then caught a flight home. So that was the only night I had off, was Monday night, and it was great. Finally having a bit of wind down time, because it was fucking hectic week. I was doing radio all week, then going straight to a gig, or then, you know, flying, you know what I mean? It was a nightmare, but it was awesome. So whenever I try and complain about it, I'm like, I literally chose to do this with my life, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. But yeah, fuck, I'm sick of airports. Hate airports. Can't deal. Just the people. I watched some lady going off, just... oh, yelling at the top of her lungs in the terminal. She's like this bogan. Her husband's got like the bintang singlet on. He's in thongs, but I'm like, fuck, it's 13 degrees. Like, you must be so chilly right now, but your pride's just keeping you warm, is it, mate? You're like, oh, I'm not fucking wearing a jumper. Yeah? Because you're shivering and you look like a dickhead. All right? You can get a bintang jumper, I'm sure. All right? You can get one from your local RSL that will keep you warm, alright? There's plenty of manly ways you can wear a jumper. And he's like, I'm so fucking manly that I'm just gonna walk out of the runway in shorts, thongs, and a singlet while my wife fucking yells at the office, like at the bloody poor air stewardesses. That's my life. I can't back out now. So this lady, she's going off. And where I'm flying Tiger, by the way. Because I'm not balling, all right? I'm doing shows in Adelaide to 100 people, okay? So I'm flying Tiger. Blanket rule of flying Tiger Airways is, there's three things you can't do. You can't expect to live at the end. If you die, you're fucked up, okay? No one can be like, well, let's sue them. It's part of the deal. You know it says agree to terms and conditions? I've never read it. But I know the Tiger one says, prepare to die, bitch, under section C4, okay? And it's section C4 because the plane usually blows up with C4, okay? you can't expect to live. Two, you can't expect to have an enjoyable experience. And three, you can't expect to be able to have the opportunity to complain. You can't complain. That's always rule number three on a Tiger flight. Can't expect to live, you can't expect to have an enjoyable flight, and you can't expect to be able to complain. You've entered into this. You've gone tigerairways.com, or you've gone www.com or webjet.com or whatever, or Flight Center, and you've picked the cheapest flight because you're stingy, all right? And you're like, oh, we need to, like, what are we gonna... You know what I mean? You're just saving money for your Bali trip. You're like, oh... why would I spend an extra $40 on a Jetstar flight? That's 40 beers in Bali. So you've made that decision. And I make that decision with the full knowledge of the three Tiger rules. But this lady, she's breaking one of the rules. She's yelling at the staff there. And I'm like, hey, bitch, rule three. You can't complain. I don't know what she was complaining. Okay, I think the flight got delayed. My Melbourne to Adelaide flight got delayed for like 25 minutes, like not a big deal. Sat there, there's Wi-Fi at the airport, chilling, talking. She had someone to talk to. She had old mate Bintang she could have complained to for 25 minutes, but fucking nah. She's there at the terminal. People are sitting there quietly going, hey guys, we all booked a Tiger flight. You guys can delay us for 3 hours. There's nothing we can do. We bought into this. That's our fault. But nah, this lady, she's like, I'm preparing to die. I know I won't have an enjoyable time, but I'm gonna fucking complain. And complain she did. This is unacceptable. Are you fucking serious? 25 minutes? This is unacceptable. I have someone waiting for me at the airport. Shut up. Why are you talking? There's no place for you in this world. if more people like her fly you know, if more Tiger flights went down and crashed and burned in the middle of the ocean, the world would be a better place. I mean, yes, you'd lose a few greats. You'd lose people like me. Nah, that wouldn't be a huge loss. You know what I mean? You lose a few good people. But at the end of the day, you'll lose those people. This is unacceptable. No, it's not. They gave us a lot of notice. You received a text to your phone, all right? And if anything, it's only delayed because they're doing extra checks on the plane or like, they don't just delay a flight. It costs them money to delay flights. They don't delay a flight just to fucking piss off you and Bing Tang, all right? They delay your flight because safety is their number one concern. All right, probably number four concern. It's Tiger. But I don't even know how they afford for the plane to take off. I still don't understand it. Anyway, she's got, this is someone waiting for me at the other end. And then this was her big threat. And the staff were just like, yeah, okay, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Just please go, wait, we'll let you know when you can board. And she's like, nah, unacceptable. So what are you fucking going to do? You're going to drive the plane? Oh, you're going to get your husband to it? He can't even wear a fucking jumper. Yeah, how do you think he's going to... He doesn't even know what temperature he wants to be. All right? He can't even look at the weather app on his phone. Do you think you and old mate Bintang can fly the plane? What's your big plan here? Like, this is unacceptable. Cool. What are you going to do about it? She's come in with no plan, and on the spot, she's just gone, yeah, well, I'm going to write something on Facebook, and then just walked away. I fucking laughed out loud. I laughed out loud so hard. Emily was like, shut up, you're going to get us like bashed. And I was like, no, fucking what's he going to do? Bing Tang me out of the room. Like, the husband was fucking embarrassed. He was standing there. He was wearing a Bing Tang singlet and a fucking... shorts and thongs. Wasn't even wearing shoes. And he was like, oh, fuck. My wife's embarrassing me. I laughed so hard. I was like, oh, what do you mean? And then I started looking on Facebook. I see her on her phone, right? I was like, oh, man. She's going to like, yeah, I'm going to write something on Facebook. So she goes down to her seat. And I'm like, I bet you she doesn't even know how to log into the free Wi-Fi. I know this bitch doesn't have fucking data. So I was like, waiting for her to log into the free Wi-Fi, and I see her going, she's just still bitching on me. This is unacceptable. I'm going to write something on Facebook. They're gonna hear me on Facebook. You think they give a fuck? You think that air hostess waiting for people, she doesn't give a fuck if you write on Tiger Airways' face. It doesn't reflect poorly on her. Oh no, people on the internet might find out Tiger Airways is shit. Yeah. That's their whole marketing campaign. That's why I buy a ticket for them. Because it's cheap as fuck and it's shit. I don't want thrills. I'm just flying to Adelaide. All right? I kind of like to get a little taste of Adelaide, which is how you get it by flying Tiger. You're like, oh, if you fly Qantas to Adelaide, you're like, oh, this is great. And then as soon as you step down in Adelaide, you're like, this sucks. But if you go straight on the plane, you're like, oh, this is already shit. So then by the time you get to Adelaide, you're like, this is just like a Tiger flight. The whole state of Adelaide, or the whole state of South Australia, is just a big old Tiger flight. All right, that's why I fly Tiger. You think one little Facebook comment is going to deter me? Because fucking old mate who's married to Bintang was like, it was unacceptable. It was unacceptable. And I had a friend waiting for me. And I'd be like, yeah. The three rules, bitch. What do you expect? I can't believe you even survived. You know what I mean? I don't even organize. Whenever I'm catching a Tiger flight, I don't even organize people to pick me up. Okay? I don't even organize people at the other end because I just assume I'm not going to make it. Like, who future plans something after a Tiger flight? By the way, if you're an international listener, Tiger is like you probably got it by now, is the worst airline in Australia, okay? It's cheap as fuck, there's no thrills, it's an uncomfortable seat, it's kind of like a seat you could get from Kmart, like a shitty desk chair, you're packed in, there's no leg room, and it's just, It's brutal, right? And I did a 3.5 hour, almost a 4 hour flight back from Perth, all the way across the country, and it's brutal, man. It's the one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. So anyway, that was my big story from that made me laugh. Just someone threatening Tiger Airways. I will get on Facebook. The CEO of Tiger Airways. Oh, not Airwaves. Airways is like not gonna be like, oh fuck, we've got another complaint again. They probably don't even have a complaints department. They probably set up a fake email where the emails just bounce back because they get so many. You think it's so funny when people threaten to be like, I will write a bad review. Okay, that may hurt a small business. It doesn't hurt a national corporation because I know you think you might matter. You're probably listening to this podcast now like, my opinion matters. Oh, no, it doesn't. I'm not saying mine matters either. I do a podcast every week saying my opinions. I don't expect anyone to give a fuck about them. These are just my opinions. You know what I mean? I'll badmouth a company. I've badmouthed Tiger Airways for almost 20 minutes now. You think they give a fuck? No way. What? No one cares what you think. You're like a speck on this earth, okay? You are not like, your husband is wearing a Bintang singlet and a singlet. You are nothing. You are nothing. No one gives a fuck about you. There's a reason why you're on a Tiger flight to Adelaide. You think getting on Facebook's going to change the world? Go. Catch a Tiger flight to fucking Antarctica and stay there. Get a one-way one somewhere. Never come back. Try fly the plane, all right? Get 30 minutes outside of Melbourne. Crash in Geelong. Sorry for the people in Geelong, but you've done us all a favour back here in Melbourne because this bitch is no longer on the planet. Now, that's pretty harsh. But, yeah, anyway, that's almost the end of the podcast, guys. I'm going to go to a gig. I'll read a couple of questions and then we'll get the fuck out of here. And by the way, I say that the Tiger flight was shit. I flew Virgin one flight. That was awesome. Because Tiger don't do Adelaide to Perth. Oh, Virgin and Qantas are the only ones who do it. And I'm like, I'm not fucking made of money, so I'm flying Virgin. I knocked out some movies that I'd only ever watch on a plane. Like, you know those movies that you just like, you're on a flight and you're like, this could be on or off. I don't give a fuck. But you just watch it. You would never watch it if you weren't on a flight. Because you're sitting in a chair, you've got nothing else to do. You're like, I could sit here and think, or I could just watch a movie. So you just watch it. I watched Dunkirk, because I never saw that in cinemas. Like, that one, it was alright. And then I watched this movie called Source Code on Netflix, because I saved it, like, to watch it offline. And that was just okay. But that's what I want on a flight. If I watch, like, I don't want to watch an Oscar-winning film on a 3-hour Tiger Airways flight. Because I don't want to have fond memories of that flight. The reason why I still fly Tiger Airways is for motivation. You know what I mean? I probably could have afforded to fly Jetstar this year, but I was like, nah, fuck it. I want the motivation this year to hustle the fuck all year. Just hustle, hustle, hustle. Then next year I may be able to fly Jetstar. That's my motivation, all right? It keeps you motivated, keeps you humble, all right? I'm like, I don't want to have a good experience on this flight. So I'm going to watch these shitty films that have like a 60% rating on Netflix and just see if they're good. And they're alright. Source Code, it was about a guy who was like, I'm not going to explain it, it was weird. And I watched the first half of John Wick 2. I'm not going to even watch the second half of it. I don't care that much. I might watch it on my way to Newcastle. So, you know what I mean? I might watch it this weekend on the way to my show, the second half, just because I'm only ever going to watch that on a flight. I'm never going to finish that in my own time. I'm a busy guy. I don't have the time for the second half of John Wick 2. Alright, the first question. I don't even know what's a question. I just got the first email I saw from Matthew. Hey Luke, just listened to the latest podcast episode and thought of some things I wanted to say. So this was last week's. First off, really sorry to hear about the absolute tragedy that is the degradation of your hot doc. I feel like I'm not pronouncing that right. Degradation? Degrade. Okay, I know what you mean. Is that a word? It's the condition. I know it means degrading, but, like, how do you say it? Degradation? I don't know. of your hot dog. I'm assuming that's how it said. Hope you don't worry too much about ending up in the 5%. Yeah, I'm going to be... I'm getting an eye surgery in a couple of weeks that is only a 95% success rate. So I'm worried that I'm going to be in the 5% and be blind for the rest of my life. But that's a whole other thing. I'll talk about that next week. also, I want to say that your work routine isn't boring, and that I think it's really insightful to be able to see how well you handle your immense workload. I get a shit ton of work from my uni course, so the list system seems like a pretty good idea. Yeah, I gave some advice last week on how to fit in heaps of shit in your day. Go check out last week's podcast. I'm glad you guys found that interesting. I kind of thought it would be boring, but I'm glad that. My question is, what do you think of people that are heavily invested in other nations' culture? Example, weeaboos or Koreaboos. Oh, yeah, like, you're, like, white people who are just, like, obsessed with anime and shit. I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that. Should you? I mean, good on them. Like, I'm super interested in comedy. That's kind of weird. It's not that weird, but it's not as weird as that. But, like, yeah, if you're into someone else's culture, that's just great. I mean, it's kind of, it's a niche interest. It's obscure, but good on you. I mean, I'm interested in, what's something weird I'm interested in? Old ladies munching up cucumbers with their pussies. That's, no, I'm not, no. No, no, that was, wasn't even that funny, and I'm not, definitely not. I couldn't even bring myself to say that out loud. I just don't have that many weird interests. I guess comedy is, like, my only weird one. I'm sure I do. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. I'm into like weird pop punk music, which is pretty lame, but you know, it's just what I like. I would say, yeah, I think it's cool if you're into another nation's culture. It's almost something where I kind of, it's cool that those people spend time to learn so much about it, because there's a lot to learn from other people's cultures, good and bad things. And yeah, I guess I don't really have an opinion on it, other than if that's what you're into, keep doing you. Anyways, good to hear that you occasionally get time to rest, and hope that the rest of your tour goes smoothly. Your podcast make doing work so much more enjoyable. I'm glad. And P.S., if you thought you were dumb saying Pugot, I just discovered that they pronounced Peugeot. Another dickhead. I just discovered that they were pronounced Peugeot from listening to your podcast. Oh, man. Imagine actually learning something from this podcast. Imagine putting this in your ear holes for an hour a week and being like, oh fuck, I never realized that. This is the most uneducational podcast on iTunes, man. This like makes you dumber. Like, oh, that's so funny. Oh, you suck, Matt. I love it. What a legend. I also thought papyrus was pronounced papyrus. Did I even know how? I still don't know how that word's pronounced. I forget why that was even brought up. Anyway, this is, okay, so this will be the last question, because I really gotta go. Fuck, I'm gonna be late for this gig. Who cares? The podcast is more important. Actually, the gig's pretty important. I should probably go soon. But, this one's from Senen. I just want to give you guys some kind of example of the shit that I get sent on a regular basis. Okay, this is from Senen. This kind of gives you, I mean, the other email gave you guys a good kind of reading of what my general demographic is like, but this is new level. I think I mentioned last week that I get some emails that are just no thought has been put into them. Like, I just get some real, real dumb shit. This is one of the most basic questions I think I've ever been asked in my life. Hi. I listen to you, this is from Senen. Hi, I listen to your podcast all the time. I have a question. How do you make good jokes? Thanks, Senen. How do you make good comedy? How you do funny? Excuse, how do you make laugh? What the fuck? I get what you mean. I get, like, because I get often, how do you do comedy? Have you got any tips? Blah, blah, blah. That's a great question. I've got that a lot of times. Listen to almost every episode of the podcast ever. But how do you make good jokes? What do you mean, how do you make good jokes? This isn't good jokes. You say you listen to the podcast. I mean, come see my show. They're good jokes. They're great jokes, okay? This podcast is kind of just me going, haha, lady bloody said to someone she was going to complain on Facebook. That made me laugh. Talk about for 15 minutes. It's not really a joke. It's more just like, I see the funny in things. So, that's a super dumb question. But to answer it the best I can is, I have a great sense of humor. I find the funny in a lot of things, and I guess I kind of fine tune the art of conveying that in a funny way. I'll often pause before I say something and be like, "What's the funniest or the most succinct way I could say this that will kind of have?" And when you, it's kind of a craft. I kind of get where you mean. So it's not a stupid question. Just the way you've worded it's retarded. But how do you make good jokes? I guess you spend a lot of time writing jokes. What I kind of can't answer about this is, what do you mean? Do you mean in the podcast? Like, how do you tell good stories? How do you make things funny? How do you make good stand-up jokes? How do you make good video jokes? You just haven't been nearly specific enough. There is different types of comedy writing that I apply to every situation. Radio ideas come about differently to stand-up ideas, to video ideas, to podcast ideas. The general crux of it all is I always find the part in the thing that I find the funniest and then expand it. That is, the easiest way to explain it for you, Senan. But maybe reword that question in. We'll maybe do it next week. Sorry for calling you stupid. You're just really stupid. So, I really appreciate you listening, Senan. And, yeah. And one thing I want to say before I end the podcast is, can we stop the questions to me for a bit? Not that I don't like them. It's very flattering. It's awesome. But can we make the question bit at the end about you guys? I want it to be about you. Who gives a fuck about me? I talk about me for the first 50 minutes of each podcast. You know what I mean? You don't need to hear more about me at the end. I get that a lot of people are curious about what I do and stuff, but I feel like I've almost covered that. It's forever. You know what I mean? Unless I start doing new shit, which I'll update you all about in the first half. Otherwise, I think you guys know almost everything about me. So let's kind of... We used to do it at the start. Like, send in life advice. Do you have a story or you're in a pickle at the moment at school, in your friendship, a relationship, at work? Funny stories from work or, like, a question of how to deal with a colleague or any life advice thing. Have you fucked someone you shouldn't have fucked? Let me know. I want to hear questions about you guys. I would love to start giving you guys advice again. I mean, we kind of stopped doing that on the podcast. Let's kind of rebuild that culture of it being about you guys. It got a bit all, the podcast got a bit me for a bit, which is not really what I started it for. So thank you all for the questions about me. I just think I'm kind of sick of talking about myself, to be honest. I would love to hear about you guys. That's why I do this podcast, is because I love the interaction, and I love many of you guys after the shows, and I guess I kind of do it a bit there, and I find out about you guys. But if you're overseas, or if you can't make it to a show, that's the best way for me to interact with your life, is maybe I'll read out your question on the podcast, and you know what I mean, I get to learn a bit more about the people who like my shit. So anyway, I'd love for you guys to send in stuff about me. Adelaide and Perth, unreal, truly amazing shows. It was the most fun interstate shows I've ever had, because the show's way better. The audiences are more fun this year. I don't know why. There's just a better vibe in the room. I think just because I create a better vibe in the room because I'm a better comedian. But, it's been fun. It's been super fun. I think I did, like, way too long in Adelaide on stage, and then I had to tone it back in Perth. But I still think I went over time. I go over time in every city because fuck the room. It's fun. All right. I do heaps of crowd work. It's fucking so fun. Anyway, you guys are making my dreams come true at the moment with this tour, and can't thank you all enough. This weekend is Newcastle, so if you're in Newcastle or surrounding regions, haven't got a ticket yet, buy one during the week. It really helps me plan out the show and how many people are going to be there and stuff, so don't rock up on the door. I mean, I don't know how many, I think there's less than 30 tickets left, so if you're from Newcastle and you're planning on coming and want to come this Saturday, I'd love to see you there. It's going to be awesome show. Last year, I got fuck all people in Newcastle, and this year I've already sold over double of what I sold last year. So the room's going to maybe sell out, or it'll be full. I think it will sell out. I mean, so I'd love for you guys to come and help me sell it out. And yeah, then Canberra the week after. Again, if you know anyone from Canberra, please tell them to come. I still don't know why I booked a show there. But hopefully people come. So Newcastle and Canberra, you're up next. Can't wait to keep seeing you guys at the shows. And next week, I'll address kind of something big that's happened in my life this week. It's not exciting at all. It's really sad. Anyway, don't really want to talk about it this week. I'll address it next week, and that you might guys find out why perhaps I've been a bit slow on social media this week, just because, I don't want to end this podcast on a sour note. There's some big stuff in our family happened this week. It was really sad. I lost a loved one this week, but I'll talk about it more next week. I just don't really want to speak about it. I'll be very upset, and I will speak about it next week on the podcast after the funerals happened, which is this week. So, yeah, the podcast was maybe a bit of a bummer, or not as funny this week, I guess that's why. And I'll tell you guys about it next week. I like being open with you guys, but I think I just need a week to kind of grieve a little bit, get over it, and move on. So otherwise I'll get upset, and I'm already getting upset now. So anyway, I don't end the podcast on a sour note. I'll talk a bit about that more next week. But if I'm off social media a bit this week, or maybe we don't do a radio show one day, there is a reason for that. It's because I've lost a really significant loved one in my family this week, has passed away. And, yeah, that's the reason. So, see you guys next week. I love to see you at the Newcastle shows. The tour and stuff, obviously, still going ahead. And, yeah, love to see you guys there. Have a great one, guys. I'll see you next week.